Although Čiurlionis comes to Vilnius in 1907 primarily as a painter to participate in the first exhibition of Lithuanian artists, his creative path begins with music. When the child's extraordinary sensitivity to music began to emerge, his father taught Kostukas to play the piano when he was only 5 years old, and by the time he turned 10, he was already substituting for his father as an organist at the Druskininkai church. Through the intercession of a family friend, Dr. Josef Markevich, at the age of 13, Čiurlionis left Druskininkai to continue his music studies in Plungė, at an orchestra school located in the manor of Duke Mykolas Oginski. Here, the young musician found a particularly favorable environment. Science, technological innovations, and culture were all highly valued at the Oginski family. Their manor contained an outstanding library, an extensive collection of paintings, and items of great cultural value. The Oginski family were stalwart Lithuanian patriots from the time of the Republic of the Two Nations. Duke Mykolas Oginski's grandfather, the great Michal Kleofas Oginski, was a well-known composer whose works are still performed today. He and his regiment also took part in the uprising of Tadeusz Kosciuszko in Vilnius, after which he was forced to spend many years in exile. He spent his entire life working for the good of Lithuania. At the manor's orchestra school, Čiurlionis studied the basics of music, played a flute in the orchestra, and began his first creative experiments. The orchestra traveled often, and for the first time in his life, he saw the Baltic Sea during their annual performances at Count Tiškevičius' manor in Palanga. On important occasions, their orchestra merged with the orchestra located at Duke Bogdan Oginski's manor, who was Mykolas Oginski's brother and resided in Rietavas. It was here at Easter time in 1892 when a chandelier of 100 lights was first lit in Lithuania at the Rietavas church that Čiurlionis undoubtedly had the opportunity to meet the famed organist and composer Juozas Naujalis, who had just returned from his studies at the Warsaw Music Institute a few years ago. In 1894, Duke Mykolas Oginski, who has become very close to Čiurlionis and will remain his most important patron for a long time, awarded the young musician a scholarship to study at the Warsaw Music Institute. Whether by coincidence or conscious choice, he chose to study with the same professors as Juozas Naujalis. Čiurlionis studied piano with one of the greatest Warsaw erudites of the time, pianist, art critic, and writer Antoni Sigetinski, and composition studied with Zygmunt Noskowski, who was the most famous composer, conductor, and organizer of cultural events in Warsaw. Composers Mieczysław Karlowicz, Karol Szymanowski, Ludomir Ružicki, and others studied with this eminent pedagogue. Čiurlionis' closest friend Eugeniusz Morawski, who later also turned to art, was also a student of Zygmunt Noskowski. At the end of the 19th century, even though it was simply a distant outpost of Tsarist Russia, Warsaw continued to foster its memory as the capital of the Republic of Two Nations and its ambition to become a European cultural center. Here, the young Čiurlionis was greeted by a diverse cultural panorama. It was dominated by the exaltation of the great legacy of Frédéric Chopin, but also it was brimming with aspirations for a national revival. The young composer plunges headfirst into his composition studies and into the vortex of urban culture. Čiurlionis' compositions, especially those relating to his academic program and leisure activities, reveal not only very serious ambitions, but also his sensitivity to the environment around him. In his earliest compositions, we can also hear quite a few oral childhood experiences from Lithuania, from folk song arrangements to dreamy musical landscapes of Druskininkai. These works speak in the composer's own genuine voice, which will later evolve into Čiurlionis' unique creative world of sounds and images. For the first time, this powerful combination will be unleashed in the symphonic poem In the Forest. Composed in 1900, it signals the beginning of the Lithuanian symphonic music. In the autumn of 1901, thanks to the support of Duke Oginski, the young composer went to Leipzig to hone his compositional skills. The city has become a magnet for young musicians from various countries. Leipzig was home to the legendary Felix Mendelssohn Bartholdy School of Music and the Gewandhaus Symphony Orchestra, The centuries-old St. Thomas Church Boys choral tradition, an aura left by the great composers such as Bach, Clara and Robert Schumann and Brahms, as well as world-renowned professors and composers Karl Reinecke and Salomon Jadassohn. Chulonius, who did not speak much German and therefore felt particularly lonely in this European cultural center, became especially close to Salomon Jadassohn, who was born in Wrocław and encouraged the aspirations of this young student from Warsaw. On the other hand, Karl Reinecke's old-fashioned academic approach quickly became more of an obstacle for the young composer, who was still searching for his true voice. Chulonius' scores were already more in tune with the emerging 20th century ideas, and so the Gewandhaus Orchestra's concerts became a way of mastering the secrets of orchestration. The composer spent hours at the Peters Music Library studying and copying down the scores of Hector Berlioz and Richard Strauss. A number of Chulonius' symphonic ideas were born in Leipzig, the overture Kęstutis, his first symphony, and the concert for cello and orchestra. In Leipzig, Chulonius pushed aside his loneliness by frequently visiting the magnificent Leipzig Art Museum, where he especially admired the German symbolists, especially Arnold Böcklin. During the Christmas holidays, Chulonius purchased colored pencils and drawing paper. Subsequently, after receiving his graduation diploma in July 1902, Chulonius returned to Warsaw, having already decided to devote his time to both music and painting.